Open your Bibles this morning, if you would, to the book of 1 Samuel chapter 2. 1 Samuel chapter 2. And our wedding congratulations to Mr. and Mrs. Tim and Kelly Provis with us officially the first time this morning. Glad to have you all back from your honeymoon. Tim, this is a message you'll want to learn a lot from this morning. How to say no. So we look today and think of denial in the home. Is this an antiquated concept, or is this something that God still desires for us to put into practice today? 1 Samuel chapter 2, we'll begin reading in verse 27. 1 Samuel chapter 2 and in verse 27. The Bible says, "And there came a man of God unto Eli and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Did I plainly appear unto the house of thy father when they were in Egypt in Pharaoh's house? And did I choose him out of all the tribes of Israel to be my priest, to offer upon mine altar, to burn incense, to wear an ephod before me? Did I give unto the house of thy father all the offerings made by fire of the children of Israel? Wherefore kick ye at my sacrifice and at mine offering, which I have commanded in my habitation, and honorest thy sons above me, to make yourselves fat with the chiefest of all the offerings of Israel, my people? Wherefore the Lord God of Israel saith, I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever. But now the Lord saith, Be it far from me, for them that honor me I will honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed." Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. God, we thank you so much for your word that does give us very clearly laid out instructions for our homes. And God, at the same time, we thank you for your overabundant long-suffering with each of us, your patience, and for giving us the privilege of coming back to you over and over again, acknowledging sin that has crept into our lives, confessing it for what it is, and being able to have that completely forgiven, washed the blood of the Lamb. Lord, I pray today that you would speak to all of our hearts. God, to those young people who are still at home, just as much as those who are out of the home, just as much as those who are parents today. Challenge us, we pray, with your word, for we ask it in our Savior's precious name. Amen. Far be it from me to advocate a dictatorial atmosphere in the home, but woe be to the parents who are afraid to put into practice the biblical command to raise biblical boundaries in the home. Have you ever noticed how the permissive attitude of our world, which was once condemned, is now becoming commonplace in many Christian homes? See, if Johnny wants to let his hair grow long, I'll not tell him otherwise. If Susie wants to dress immodestly, I need to let her learn how to express herself. It is of great interest to me that of the Ten Commandments that our Lord gave to us, only two of them, honor thy father and mother and remember the Sabbath day, are what could be considered as positive commands. All of the rest are prohibitions. Worshipping other gods, making a graven image, taking the name of the Lord in vain, killing, committing adultery, stealing, bearing false witness, and coveting. That is, on 8 of the 10 commandments from God to his children, the people of Israel, he says, "Thou shalt not." In other words, don't do it. May I suggest to you this morning that the parent who is afraid to say no to his children is not only a parent who is at great risk of losing his child, but also he is a parent who is going to have much to give account to God for. You see, it is a faulty argument to think that by being permissive, we will avoid losing our children. To the contrary, if we are permissive, we are giving the devil that much more of an opportunity to get his foot into the door of their hearts. You know, our story this morning is certainly nothing new to the average Christian who has been saved for any length of time. We think of God's history and the children of Israel and all that He desired from His people. But I think it's important for us to understand the setting this morning, because the individual here to whom God is talking is Eli. He's a priest. We realize that he obviously, in the general or broad sense of the term, was one who was a follower of God. He was one who knew what the law said. How can we say that? Because he was the one who was partially responsible for instructing the children of Israel in the words of this book. He was one who was involved in the Lord's work day and night. 7 days a week, 365 days out of the year. He was the one who was involved specifically in mentoring Samuel, who thankfully did seek to follow after the ways of the Lord. But yet it is to this God-fearing man, again in the broad sense, it is to this God-fearing man that God has some very harsh words. Some very sobering instructions that are given to him. And I think a lot of times today we can somehow incorrectly justify ourselves and say, well, it doesn't really matter. As long as I am a Christian, as long as I'm seeking to be in church and read my Bible, then I've done my job as a parent. But unfortunately, nothing could be farther from the truth. We think about the instruction that we learn in church as was put forth to us this morning in a somewhat humorous fashion. The Word of God that is preached and taught from this pulpit and from the pulpits throughout our church and our Bible study fellowship classes and in our youth groups and in our junior church. This is to be but the starting point for the instruction that you give in your home. You see, I, as your pastor, am not the parent to your children. I, as your pastor, will stand and give an account to God someday for the way in which I have shepherded God's flock. But that does not for one moment mitigate your responsibility that you have as a mother or father of standing before the same holy God and giving a more detailed account for the children that you have raised under your roof. I think all too often today when we talk about seeking to do what is right, we tend to think, well, if they've gone through a profession of faith, if they're in a Christian school, if they're in a good youth group, then everything is okay. And we tend to downplay the questions that are raised. And we begin to say, well, all right, okay, just once. All right, I'll look the other way. I won't get involved. And what we begin to do, even as saved believers, is we begin to honor our children more than we honor God. But you see, we don't like to think of it in those terms. We don't like to hear it that way. And as has been preached before, and I say by way of reminder, when our children leave our roofs, when they leave our homes, I believe there is clear-cut instruction from the Word of God that we do not have the same sense of responsibility as a mother or father when the children are under our homes, because we cease to have the direct influence over the decisions that they are making. But while they are under my roof, while they are under my direct instruction, I have the God-given responsibility of still honoring God over and above my children. This last week was a very interesting time for me, as I shared with you all last Sunday, taking Raquel to college. And of course, if I get choked up right now, you just have to bear with me. I know I'll get over it. But taking her to college and, of course, going out to California, which is not a 2-hour drive or a 10-hour drive for that matter. I was bracing myself, and I knew that I would have Becky's moral support with me every step of the way. And as God's divine providence would so see fit, on Tuesday night, she came down with the stomach flu and was sick all night long. And so Wednesday morning, I was crying before we ever left. I said, honey, you can't send me to do this on myself. And realized, all right, the Lord will get me through this. And so, and those of you who know me, you know that I do enjoy from time to time a shopping and a bargain and things. But let me tell you, I got all the shopping out of my system for the rest of this year with Raquel. From the time that plane landed to the time that I said goodbye to her, we went to 11 different stores, and none of them were in a mall. So this involved driving to each one of them and trying to get her room set up for everything that she was going to need. There are benefits to going to a college you can drive to because you can shove it in your car. It doesn't exactly work on the same airplane. But did all that. But you know, leaving her there, all right, bear with me. Leaving her there and driving off, it was a joy to know that to the best of our ability, following the direction and guidance of the Holy Spirit, we have instructed her in the ways of the Lord, not just in what she can do, but also in what she should not do if she's going to honor God with her life. You know what was interesting here is we talk about Eli. Again, Eli was still not this evil, wicked man. He was still the one that God had seen fit to be over the service of the religious offerings and sacrifices that were offered by the children of Israel unto God. And he was still, in this specific time period, mentoring Samuel. So he was doing a lot of good in his life. He was there in the temple. But he had a problem, and that was he was permissive with his sons. And God said, you are honoring them over me. Of course, what was going on there was they were committing acts of fornication, oftentimes with some of the women that were coming to the temple to offer. They were also interfering with the sacrifices that were being made and the way in which the meat was to be distributed to the priest and what they were to take. But it's interesting that God says to him, he says, now you thought it was no big deal. You thought that everything was fine because you're still going through all the sacrifices. You're still there in the temple. You're still there administering all of the spiritual responsibilities. He said, however, I am now not going to let this get by. I am not going to treat this lightly. He says, because you have despised me, you will be lightly esteemed. You know, I would submit to you this morning that this is a temptation into which any parent can fall. And I would venture so far as even to say that if you had been there with Eli in the very beginning, he did not deliberately say, God, I'm going to rear sons who are going to be absolutely wicked and vile in your sight. That was not his desire. But what happened was, he was afraid to say no. Turn with me, if you would, to the very next chapter, where we see that not only did he honor his children over his God, but we see here that he did not restrain them. And in verse 13 of 1 Samuel chapter 3, the Bible says, I have told him, this is the Lord speaking to Samuel, a message for Eli, I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not. Keep in mind here, when we talk about these sons, They did not suddenly come to a point where they were deciding, let's go out and commit some lewd acts of wickedness. No, because they were honored over God, because Eli was afraid to say no, because he restrained them not, then they came to commit such awful sins. But you see here, God said the key was you knew about it and did nothing to stop it. I realize I can't be with my children 24 hours a day. I can't be with them when they're with their friends on a youth activity. I can't be with them when they're with their classmates out on a playground. I can't be with them when they're in between classes. I can't be with them when they go over to a friend's house. But everything that I know that my children are doing, that I know is not pleasing or honoring or glorifying to God, I have a God-given responsibility to put an end to it. Period. You see, he says, you knew this, Eli. You knew full well what was going on, and yet because you chose to honor them, because you chose to say, well, it's just a little thing, well, it doesn't really matter that much, well, I know they're talking back, but it's really not that big of a deal, well, I know they're not acting in a fashion that's pleasing to Jehovah, but it really doesn't matter, because you knew it, and you didn't put a stop to it, I will hold you accountable. And it's interesting here, but the Lord says, I am going to judge his house forever for that iniquity. That's a very strong reprimand. You know, when we think about children being an heritage of the Lord, we think about the privilege of rearing up children and realizing God blesses us in a host of different ways. And there are some married adults that God chooses not to bless with children. But to those of us that he does bless with children, we have a lifelong responsibility to make certain that we are not afraid to say no. What are the reasons why we don't say no? We've all heard people say, well, I just don't want to lose my children. You have to wonder if that was not a part of Eli's own personal argumentation at some point in time in his life. I don't want to lose my sons, so I'm going to let them act this way. I'm going to let them engage in these activities. I'm going to let them talk like this. I'm going to let them walk like this, and I'm not going to do anything about it. Not only do we think of the fear of losing our children, but we think of the fear of looking like we're too strict. Although I did not laugh publicly to in any way humiliate this lady, I was flying back on Friday and had a lady next to me, I'd say probably about 60 years old, had an opportunity of witnessing to her and gave her a tract, and she read it in its entirety and told me, I don't think I'll need this, and gave it back to me, so I thought, okay. I was glad she read the whole thing. She did it right in front of me, so I know she at least heard the truth, the seeds there. But she was telling me, I just dropped my daughter off at college, and this lady and her boyfriend were there, and they were getting ready to travel overseas and doing a lot of different things that was going on there. And she said, years ago, she said, I went to a women's college. And of course, if she's 60 or so, I figure obviously 40 years ago, roughly. And she said, it was so strict. She said, back then when I was in school, we had a midnight curfew. I'm thinking, 40 years ago, you had a midnight curfew and that was strict? But you know what happens a lot of times in our homes today? We hear of someone else and we say, well, I don't want them to think that I'm a strict father. I don't want them to think that I'm a strict mother. So therefore, I'm not going to stop that activity. You know, my children, and it's by personal conviction, have never been in a movie theater. And my children know, if they're ever invited over to somebody's house, even if it's to go and see a G movie, they don't go to the movie theaters. And I'm not afraid to say no. That's not something I want my children doing. My children know in our home we don't go mixed swimming. And so if someone invites them over and says, hey, let's go swimming, I say, look, you know, that's, I don't want my sons to see women with less than enough clothes on. We're not going to go. And I'm not afraid to tell them that. You know, when we think about these areas, because I realize someday when I stand before God and give an account for my four children, I don't know how they're going to turn out. I don't know what they're going to do in the future. But I want to make certain when I stand before my Lord that He says to me, well done. While they were under your roof, you sought to teach them what they could do and what they could not do. Raquel went over to a friend's house, someone she'd met through a school connection. They don't come to our church, and they were going to be seeing a movie, and it was, we will see DVDs or videos up to a PG, and that's where it stops. We don't see PG-13, we don't see R, we just don't do it. And so they were going to see some movie, and it was beyond a PG rating, and she called, and she said, Dad, I just want you to know, said they're going to do that, but she said, I'm staying in another part of the house until that's over, and the girl that invited me over knows that. She's 18 years old. Been very easy for her to have said, Dad's not here, Dad's not going to know, it's no big deal. No, but she is seeking to know where the boundaries are. And to live by those boundaries is based on biblical principles. I believe there's a fear of, quote unquote, not loving them enough. Don't fall for the line. If your kids say, if you love me, you'll let me do thus and so. If you love me, you'll let me dress like this. If you love me, you'll let me act like this. If you love me, you'll let me go to this place. That's a lie from the devil. If you love them, you will stand by your convictions, Mom and Dad. If you love them, you will let them know God is the one who has laid down the law. If you don't like it, take it up with Him. I believe there's also a fear of letting others seem as better than we are. Keep in mind, there may be other Christian parents who have totally different standards than what you have in your home. And your kids very well may come and say, well, Mom or Dad, they're doing this. Why can't we do this? And remind them, because you are not giving account as a mother or father for those children when you stand before God, but you are giving account for every single one of the children that are under your roof. Say, hey, look, I'm sorry if you don't like it. This is the line. It will not be crossed or there will be consequences. I am going to do my God-given responsibility of restraining you and saying no. But you realize that all of this starts right from the very beginning. Letting the toddler know. You don't throw a temper tantrum and get away with it. You don't go to the store and buy everything that you put your hands on. You don't go and slap back or sass back as a 2 or 3 year old and say, oh, isn't that cute? No, you're taught no. That behavior will not be tolerated. You see, the Bible tells us in James chapter 4 and verse 17, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is what? You mean everything? Afraid so. You mean those awkward moments when there are other parents around and they are right in front of you letting their children do things that you don't want your kids to do? Afraid so. Because you know, based on the guidance of the Holy Spirit and what you've learned through God's Word, that's not the right kind of thing to be doing. That's not the right kind of way to be dressing. That's not the right kind of thing to be saying. And so you are the one who's going to give an account before God because you do know to do good. I think there's a reason for doing what is right. Turn with me, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 24, the Bible says, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. What is the reason for doing what is right? Why don't we let our children indulge in sinful activities? Because sin's pleasures are only momentary. For a season. And they will reap the consequences for a lifetime. You see, don't allow your children, while they're living under your roof, don't allow them not to have unbiblical standards. Don't give them the option of choosing between what is sinful and what is good. Now, if you want to let them have the option and the choice and the decision between what is good and better and best, I think that's fine. But don't let your children deliberately engage in sinful activity. You know, it's so interesting. We would be absolutely appalled, all of us collectively, and I know it without even asking you, if we knew of a parent who was allowing their 2 or 3 year olds to play with fire and do it in an open fashion. We would be appalled at the parent who says, hey, Johnny, you know, here's the gas stove and this is how you turn it on. If I'm ever not around, you want to come play with it. You come and just this is how you turn the knob and wait for a little click, pop, 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 and then you'll have the flame. We would be horrified. And you know what else is, if we knew about it, we would take action, would we not? But that same parent will allow their children to play with sin, to play with the world, that can have far greater consequences than their skin being burned. And we stand by and do nothing. You see, it all goes back to a choice. Doing what God says or doing what's convenient. You see, the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 14, doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto him? And may I submit to you that if a boy have long hair, it is equally a shame unto him. It's not cute when he's 2 or 3 if he's got hair all the way down to his neck. It's just a sin before God as if he were 30 and had hair down to his neck. That's the Bible. You don't like it? Don't take it up with me. Take it up with God. The Bible says, in like manner also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and in verse 9. But you know, I was thinking about this week. Why is it that all too often, dads particularly, are too afraid to tell their daughter no? That blouse is too tight, or it's too low cut, or that skirt's too short, I don't know what to say. And I think the reason is, more often than not, it's because the dad is not really the head of the home. He knows his wife dresses immodestly from time to time, maybe not all the time, but he knows his wife will dress immodestly, so if I let her do it, then I've got to let my daughter do it. And you know what's interesting? We all have the same red blood in our veins. And for those of us that are men, we know if something is modest or immodest, and it's not always about the item itself. You may have a perfectly adequate length dress on, and if it's too small, it could be more immodest than if you had some type of other garment on. So it's not a matter of, well, that item or that article. No, it's just a matter of a principle. Every day of our lives, we are to be modest, period. And it is not modest when your thigh is showing based on God's holy word. Don't like it? Take it up with God. But you see, the husband is afraid to tell his wife, hey, listen, you shouldn't wear that. Well, who am I to say? You are the head of that home. You are the God-given authority for that home. You better say something about it. Or what are you going to say when you stand before God someday? You have a low-cut top on. Well, it's cute. It's my daughter. I want to show her off. Yeah. Yeah, then she gets to that marriage altar and she's not a virgin. Are you real happy about showing her off then? What a shame. What a disgrace. And young people, you may be tempted to say, well, Dad, what's the big deal? So-and-so wears this same dress, and it's no big deal if she wears it. Oh, come on, Dad. Why can't I have it a little bit lower? Oh, come on, Dad. It fit me fine last week. Why can't I wear it today? You didn't say anything about it then. Keep in mind, young people, if your father loves God, he will lay down the law and not let you cross it. Because he's going to give an account to God for whether or not you were a good testimony or a bad testimony for the Lord. Sometimes it's done out of total innocence, and I wholeheartedly acknowledge that. Which is why, again, as I started my whole message off, I'm not in any way advocating that we somehow become a type of dictator. But I am the one who is responsible before God Almighty, as the father, as the head, as the leader of the home, of teaching my children when wrong is wrong and when right is right. A lot of times it could be something that maybe it did fit fine 6 months ago, but perhaps it's a developing girl and she's built differently today than she was 6 months ago, and so maybe she shouldn't wear it today, although it was fine just a few months ago. And maybe it is something that, well, you know, they've grown an inch or two, and it used to come past the knee and was modest, and now it's coming up above the knee. Then say, hey, look, sweetheart, I know you didn't realize this, but you need to go change your skirt before you leave. We're not going to church like this. You know, and the problem is, the world is the one who dictates to us our styles, rather than we as Christians allowing God to dictate to us what should be our styles. You know, the world thinks it's cute to see how tight a pair of jeans they can get on girls. And I was absolutely disgusted the other day. I was looking at the Sunday paper about 3 weeks ago, and now, I don't know what they're calling it, but they've got like skinny jeans that are popular for guys. You want to talk about something that's just gross? I'm sorry. That is just sick. So I don't care what kind of guy's out there. He may say he's straight as an arrow. If he puts those things on, boy, I'm getting out of there, okay? But you know, we talk about it. We say, well, that's the only kind of jeans that are out there. Then if that's the way it really is, which we all know is not the case, but if that's the way it really is, then you just say, I'm sorry, sweetheart, you're not going to wear any jeans. Because your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, and I want you to obey God's desire for you to be modest in sobriety and shamefacedness before our Lord. And as long as you're under my roof, that's what the rules are. You know, we think about electronic media today. I could go on forever, and I won't, but television is but a drop in the bucket compared to all the other filth that is out there. And I would say to you as a mom or dad, you ought to know what your kids' passwords are if they're involved in social networking. You ought to check on their emails. Again, why? Because if you don't restrain them from engaging in ungodly activity, God is going to hold you accountable for it. No, and we say, well, you know, I just don't want to pry into them. You're not a spy. You are the special gift from God who is given to them so that they will have the biblical guidance and direction that they need for their lives. Think of music. Do you know what's on your kids' iPods, parents? Some of you today need to go home this afternoon and say, Johnny, Susie, let me have your iPod. I want to see what you've got on there. Some of you won't even have to listen to everything to know there's things on there that's not honoring and glorifying to God. These are good kids. It's not that they're out necessarily trying to do the most awful, wicked thing that is out there. It's that they need somebody to tell them, no, no, no. You play with fire, you're going to get burned. You indulge in the temptations of this world and of the flesh and of the devil, and you will not come out unscathed. Of course, the Lord tells us that really those who love their children are the ones who will correct them. We think of the music and how often we hear the kids are real quick to justify. And well, you know, it's not as bad as this. Hey, look, if it's wrong, I don't care if it's a little wrong or a lot wrong. I don't care if it's a little sin or a lot of sin. It's still wrong. It's still sin. And we're getting it out of here. Period. Now, it's interesting that the scriptures give us a lot of commands that we tend to forget. Bible says that we are to abstain from fornication in 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 3. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 22, we are to abstain from all appearance of evil. 1 Peter 2 and verse 11, we are to abstain from fleshly lust. Not dabble in it and just make sure we don't get too involved. Not say, well, you know, it doesn't really matter that much. It's just a little bit. No, stop. Restrain them. Abstain. That means don't get your feet wet in the world, but give your life and your heart and your soul to God for His honor and glory. Again, Eli was involved in sacrificing. Who'd have been the one to come and say, Eli, the priest, you've missed the boat? Oh, but God came. God said, you've honored your children over me. God said, you knew what they were doing and you restrained them not. Turn with me, if you would, to the book of Proverbs. And with this, I close. Proverbs chapter 21. Proverbs chapter 21. Some of you today need to go home. Perhaps you need to go through your wife's wardrobe. Maybe you need to go through your daughter's wardrobes. And you just need to throw some stuff in the garbage where it belonged in the first place. And I'm not joking. I'm not saying this to be humorous. I'm saying this to be holy and sanctified before a holy, righteous God. Anyone who thinks it's a joke ought to question their heart. Some of you today need to go home and say, hey, look, I want to see your websites you're on. I want to see the blogs you're on. I want to see your iPods. I want to see whatever you've got. Because I have been reminded today from God's holy word, I'm going to stand and give an account before God for you while you're under my roof. And I want to make sure I'm doing all that I can to have you be what God wants you to be. Some of you today need to do that this afternoon. But keep in mind, don't talk about all that you're doing to be involved in church and you're singing and you're teaching and you're helping here and you're serving here if you're not teaching your children the value of no. Listen to what Proverbs, Solomon says in Proverbs chapter 21, verse 3. To do justice and judgment, that's to do what's right, is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. Don't talk about what you're giving. Don't talk about where you're serving. Don't talk about what ministries you're involved in. If you know full well, you're not doing judgment and justice according to God's law. This isn't pastor's rules. This isn't pastor's responsibility. No, this is the responsibility of the people of God. And all of us today need to really stop and think, are there some things I'm allowing in my home and I'm just been too busy, too preoccupied? Again, can happen very innocently. We get so focused on what we've got to do and we forget about, wait a minute, I've got some children here that need some instruction. And not only instruction, but they need some restriction. Maybe you need to think through what your own family policy is regarding movies, regarding dress, regarding where you'll let them go or won't let them go. And again, we don't have them in a bubble, but we want them to follow the Bible. And if they follow the Bible, they will be different. May God help us to have the conviction to do justice and judgment, which is far more acceptable than sacrifice to our Lord. Let's